just in case you didn't know, it's kind of like a news flash. The devil don't want to see you succeed. At any point you stop, he's glad. He's going to shoot everything at you that he could possibly pull out of his arsenal. Some stuff is going to be unsuspected. Some is going to be quite obvious. He don't want to see you make it. Y'all can help me to preach. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because, you know, you ain't got to touch your neighbor, but you just tell him that the devil don't want to see you succeed. You just tell him he don't want to see you succeed. He wants you to drop off. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give out. He wants you to throw your hands up. He wants you to say, I can't do this. It's too much for me. Hallelujah. He don't want you to have a strong finish. He don't want you to have a strong faith. Somebody say, but God.
But God.
God wants, it is his will that you would have a strong finish. So if he's telling us to have a strong finish, it's indicative of the fact that you still got some more in you. Hallelujah. You got more in you. There is a, I'm going to preach here in a minute, but there's a principle about NASCAR that we will preach one day. And I give it to you in short. The racing, NASCAR racing, the principle of NASCAR is to get the maximum amount of speed out of your car on the least amount of fuel. It's to know what your car is running at its maximum potential to maximize the amount of fuel that you have to finish the race. And there have been some that was mathematically incorrect, and they got to the last lap, and because the math was off, they ran out of fuel, and they didn't win the race. But God is telling us that he's going to cause us to run at our maximum level because he's calculated. See, the thing that NASCAR didn't have was Romans 8:26. Because even when you feel like you're on empty, God says all things work together for the good. Hallelujah. And God will give you enough to finish strong. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Strong finish. All right. Go to Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. Strong faith. I'm going to have. Matthew's Gospel 24. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 24. I can't get that out of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we did kind of trip up a little bit. Praise God. Maybe we could sing it again and get it. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. Strong finish. See, it's something when you minister in ministry because you can't necessarily get caught up in it. You have to keep your head so that you can minister, praise God, because sometimes we get caught up just like y'all do. See, y'all actually get better ministry than we do that minister, because we can't get caught up, you know. We can't get lost in it, because we got to stay where we are so y'all can get it. Hallelujah, because sometimes you get caught up. It ain't that they made a mistake in the song. They just got caught up in the song. Hallelujah. They start thinking about that thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you're supposed to sing the chorus here, but it was really over there because, you know, it's just like we got caught up. Hallelujah. Every now and then it's good to get caught up. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew's Gospel 24 and 14. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 24 and 14. I want to talk to you just for a little bit, amen, about good news in troubled times. Good news in troubled times. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, just one more time, praise God, amen. That'll help you loosen up or maybe even thaw out. It just stand for the reading of God's word, hallelujah. Amen, if you could, if you're able to, praise the Lord, amen. And I'm just going to read you this one verse of scripture, then we're going to back up and see what the Lord is saying unto us, praise the Lord. And this gospel, that's where we get the terminology of the good news. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end be come. I'm sorry, be come. Come. Then shall the end come. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, the doers of his holy word, and all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
And amen again.
Amen.
You may have your seat in the presence of our life-changing King. I want to talk to you again about, or preach to you just for a few moments, amen, in terms of, and what I was going to term it was, because when you talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is always good news. It is always good news. So what I was going to put was always good news in troubled times. Hallelujah. Because when we talk about the gospel, and he terms it here, the gospel of the kingdom that shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the backdrop of this is let's back it up to see what Jesus is talking about and what he's saying here, because he's letting us know something. We was in intercessory prayer yesterday, and I saw some things in terms of the scripture that leaped out upon me that I had not seen before. And so let's see what Jesus is talking about here. And you can never see it in its totality, but certainly we can see it in his partiality in relationship to that. But it says in verse number 1 of chapter 24 of Matthew's gospel, you're right there, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And you need to understand that at that time they were massive. They were, you know, the Solomon's temple, they was massive, and it was just a multi complex of buildings and structures and different things that was there in Jerusalem. And Jesus said unto them, see, and it is also too, we could see the individual brickings and the different structure of how that they build in that time frame. But Jesus says this about that massive structure. He says, see ye not all these? And he was referring to all this massive temple that was there, all the bricks that had been laid and set in place. He said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So in essence, there was going to be a dismantling of this massive building and all these bricks that had been laid together. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the world, of the end of the world? This is amazing what Jesus is telling them. Because perhaps they're asking here, when the temple of the Lord that is in place for worship, and again, we're talking about this is the time of Jesus and when he's with his disciples, but they were saying that Jesus, if you said that this temple is going to be torn down brick by brick and is no longer going to exist, you must be referring to then the end of the world. If there is no more worship, if there is no more opportunity for us to come to worship God, then that must mean that's the end of the world. So when are these things going to be? Because there was a custom and used to coming to the temple for worship and these type of things. But what Jesus, as we're going to find out, was talking about was the new temple in terms of what he had come to do. And it's the realization that we must have in terms of what Jesus came to do, to offer us the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, to offer us this the new way in terms of believing on him. It wasn't the Old Testament ways of sacrifices and the Old Testament way of the priest, but now Jesus was coming now with, as Dr. King said, a new argument in terms of showing the world what he came for and why he came. That's what makes him so special. That's why the Bible says that God so loved the world in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was coming with a new a way about God, a new way to come to God. And so he's talking to them here. Jesus says it like this, though. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Understand that you absolutely, positively can't get this wrong. You ask me a question. That's what he's telling his disciples. You ask me a question. How are these things going to be? When are they going to happen? And what's going to be a sign? A sign. How are you going to warn us about the things that are going to transpire? How are you going to speak to us? How will we know? What will we see? That's going to be an indication that this is going to happen. What would be an indication? How will we know that we're getting close to the end? And Jesus says, be sure that no man deceive you. Here you ask me, so I'm getting ready to tell you what's getting ready to happen. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. There is so much in all of this, we can't get to it all. But praise God, you need to understand that Jesus Christ, that's why we teach from Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 in terms of the doctrine of Christ, because we simply teach what Jesus taught. And when we teach what Jesus taught, then we understand who he is. And we understand how that we, our lives is centered in him. Hallelujah. But he says, make sure no man don't deceive you. No, nobody sell you short. He says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Even now, we live up under the threat of North Korea, who has been constantly sending out threats of nuclear intercontinental bombs with nuclear warheads and saying they're going to do this and threaten to do that and threaten to do that. And some people will get scared and troubled in that, praise God. But what we don't get scared or troubled as saints of the Most High God, because the Lord has already warned us that is not the end. He says, nations shall rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And if you're watching the news and you're seeing the whole thing that's happening in our world, all of these things are happening in our world. Last year was it Zika? It's just pestilence. It's just different things. And now they say that some of the Zika virus components can actually heal cancer. But we have earthquakes in diverse places. We have all these things, Jesus says, are the beginning of sorrows. Now, did you get that? This is Jesus speaking about what's happening 2017. And here he was 2,000 years ago, but Jesus now is speaking about what's happening now, and he says it's the end that is approaching us. So they was even living at the end with the mindset of what Jesus was saying even then. The watchword in all of this is we must be ready for the return of the Lord. So he says, when you're going through these things, Understand that these are things that are happening around you. But there's something that's going to happen within you as a result of, because why? We look ridiculous as believers when there's so much calamity around. Hear my full statement, y'all, for y'all look at me like that. We look ridiculous as believers when all around us is calamity and we are calm and we are confident in the God in whom we serve. We have prayed and got an answer from God, and we're going to believe him on every side. You look ridiculous when you know you have sickness in your body, yet you are decreeing, I believe the report of the Lord. You look ridiculous when the enemy has shot his best shot and you can still praise God. Are you kidding me? But there needs to be an anchor. Some of the boats that I saw that was on the coast, they took it from the dock. They lowered the anchor, and they just let it ride out the wave. They said it was better for it to be in the sea than it was to be tied to the pier. So they dropped the anchor, and some of them were still, but it was still holding on. You need to know that your anchor must be sure and that it will grip the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. And in the midst of the storm, you just see, it's not you holding on. It's the anchor that's attached to you that's holding on. Hallelujah. You look ridiculous when you can give God praise when all hell is breaking loose. You look ridiculous. Hallelujah. When you can still give God praise in the midst of not understanding what's all going on. You look ridiculous. Hallelujah. You confuse the adversary because he said, I knew by now you would break down. We don't break down. We break out. Hallelujah. In a praise, we raise our praise. Hallelujah. We pray more, we fast more. Hallelujah. 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 So he says, even after this, what did I just read for y'all? He says that the nations are going to rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, famine, pestilence, earthquake. And if that wasn't bad enough, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. And shall kill you. Oh Lord, we just asked you a question. We just asked you, you know, okay. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. My goodness. And then shall, if you thought that was bad, then. You mean there's more? Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. If that wasn't bad enough, who's talking here? Y'all not confident? Now, y'all don't think Jesus can say something like this. Who's talking here? What was the question? He says, they said, tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? That was the original question. Are we still there? That was the question. When shall these things be, and what's going to be the sign, and what's going to be the sign of the end of the world? We know we close because they can't stand us. Hallelujah. They can't stand us. But what we don't want is like what Pastor Louisa was saying. We don't want the infighting. Let the world say whatever they're going to say. Let them do whatever they're going to do. But let's not fight among one another. It's like growing up with many siblings. We have our inner struggles, but don't let nobody from the outside. Now, don't get it twisted now. Don't let nobody from the outside come in. Hallelujah. Because that thing will turn real quick. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, so he says here, shall be offended and shall hate one another. And many, if that wasn't bad enough, verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, something bitter twisted on the inside, abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But then he takes a turn. He gets down to verse 13 and he takes a turn. He's saying, but he and or she, it's gender friendly whenever you talk of spirit, but just in case you need to know, he and or she that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel shall come through all of that and still be preached. In essence, there's going to be somebody that will survive after every storm of life that will come your way. You see it right here, right now, survivors. Survivors. You can't find anybody in here 30 plus that ain't been through a storm, and some of us is younger than that. But you made it. But you made it. Hallelujah. But you made it. How did you make it? Hallelujah. It was God going in, and it was God while I was in, and it was God when I came out. Hallelujah. He says, and this gospel, hallelujah, the good news of God, this gospel, that word gospel is UY. Gelion in the Greek, which means the proclamation of grace of God manifested and pledged in Christ. It means this gospel, the glad tidings of salvation through Christ. It means the messianic rank of Jesus as proven by his words, by his deeds, and by his death. Hallelujah. And I like to put in there, by his words, and by his deeds, his work, and by his death, his worship. Because you need to know if his death was anything, it was worship unto God. He was the Lamb of God, holy sacrifice unto God. And that's what sacrificial worship was, or offering was. It was a worship as unto God. A pleasing, acceptable Savior and sacrifice. It also carries the connotation of to bring good news, to announce glad tidings. It is the joyful tidings of God, God's kindness, in particular of the messianic blessings. The messianic blessings. That God is, Jesus Christ is our Messiah. That he is the one who satisfied the wrath that God had because of the first Adam in his sin. He said, I have another son, Adam, which was Jesus Christ. And he says, if we could through one man in Romans 7, if we could through one man enter into sin, then we can through one man get out of it. So Jesus comes, amen, with the good news that not only will he get us out of the sin, but he will keep us within so that we can make it to the end. So he's Jesus, humanity, who died for our sins, who paid a price we could not pay. We owed it, but we couldn't pay it. because we could never be good enough on our own to satisfy the wrath of God that was against us because of the first Adam's sin. We were born into a situation that we had no control over. We were born in iniquity and shame out of the place with God, and we didn't have no control over it. But praise be to God, through Jesus, he showed us the way out so we can get back in. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? So he shows us, praise God, in terms of the good news of the gospel. Let me rush on, praise God, to start my conclusion. Over in 1 Corinthians, hallelujah, the 15th chapter, it breaks it on down even more. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, which I preached unto you, and which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand. Jesus says that all these things are going to come upon us. Jesus says that these things are going to happen, but he says my gospel is still going to be standing, and we represent that word. We represent his faith. We represent his church while we live in this land with all those things happening. Don't be discouraged and don't be dismayed, for these things must happen, but understand that the word of God, he that is in us, is stronger than he that's outside of us. It's Christ on the inside working on us to develop us. So he's Jesus, humanity, who saves us from our sin. He's Christ, who is divinity, who develops a sanctifier within. And he's Lord sovereignty, who directs us to the end. Praise be to God. So we have, once we make our confession of God, the first part of the manifestation of his purpose. In essence, we've had our encounter with Jesus. If we confessed him as Lord and Savior, now we need to understand him as sanctifier and sovereign. Now he's on the inside in the person of the Holy Spirit, working with us and working on us and teaching us and guiding us and interceding for us. Isn't that wonderful? Showing us. Think about it. Adam and Eve was in the garden. God had on the front side of their sin, gave them a commandment of what they should do. And he says that you shall be blessed and you shall have dominion and you shall, and he gave them what to do, gave them the commandment of what they should do. They sinned. Then the Lord had to come and had to deal with their sin. Immediately in their sin, they saw each other. They saw their nakedness. They saw their vulnerabilities. And they tried to cover up using what they could use. The first thing that came to mind. How many know that when you're in a predicament where fear is rampant, praise God, you grab the first thing you can reach for. You ever fall? And you just try to grab the first thing, grab the drapes off the wall, or grab a plant. You grab something that can't hold you, but it's the first thing that's in your vicinity. Well, the Lord came back and dealt with that. And what I love about it, what I think sometimes we miss in the scripture, is the Bible said God came in the cool of the day. He dealt with them according to their sin. And the Bible said that God had made them skins to put around them. In essence, it was a sacrifice. And the Bible says in Genesis 4:1, it says, and Adam knew. In essence, he reinstated their assignment. Because he dealt with the sin that separated them. And the Bible says that Adam, look, once he dealt with the sin, he said, we're going to get back on track with the, and the Bible said that Adam knew his wife Eve. Hello? So that's all I'm telling you, is that the Bible says that we are to work out our own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. Yes, Jesus came and delivered us from the sin. But he says, now that you delivered, you need to know God. You need to know what your assignment is and get busy doing it. Yeah, yeah. And look at the power of this. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all missed it. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm just telling you that when you engage in what God has given you to do after he has delivered you, he's not causing you to sit down. He's not causing you. No, he's causing us to be, calling us to be a witness of him based upon what we have had from him. What's your assignment? So he says, in the midst of all this calamity, come on, let's move from there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so in this, you know, I think by nature we're so negative minded sometimes, because you say, well, he had Cain and Cain killed Abel. No, I'm just telling you, look at the good principles, look at the godly principles, in that he got back to work, praise the Lord. Let's deal with all the other stuff. That's not the point I'm trying to bring out. I'm not trying to bring out Cain, and I'm not trying to bring out the things that he did. I'm trying to bring out the fact that once sin was dealt with through God, that he offered an out, then they got back in to flow in what God had for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So he says here then that I preached back in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I preached unto you, which ye also have received, wherein ye stand. Let's back it up. I love the backup scriptures. He says, you're standing by what you have received. And what you have received, you got by what was preached. And what was preached was the gospel. So the gospel that was preached, you received, therefore you're standing, which also ye are saved. So you're saved. Now you have the ability to stand by what you received, by what we preached, which was the gospel. Then he says, say, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And the only reason you can believe in vain, if we went way forward, it would be over here in verse number 12. I just want to give you this real quick. Verse number 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, he's like every other prophet that ever came on earth. He's no better than Muhammad, Confucius, or any of them other guys. Because if he has not risen, then he has been a liar, and what he said was not true. He says, if Christ be not risen, we don't have life, we don't have ministry, we don't have a church. Okay, see, that's what they're saying, y'all. That's what they're saying in our generation. You serve that God. You serve that Christ. He ain't even risen. He's black. He's white. He's a Muslim. He's a, you know, come on now. I'm just telling you, that's what they're telling us. Some of them are telling us that he is not the Son of God, that God didn't have a son, that he, you know, they said all kind of manner of things. He says, if ye are found a false witness of God, not a Jehovah witness, but a false witness of God, because ye have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he raised, y'all missed it, who he raised not up. And if we are, and who we raise not up, if so, it's almost comical, but it's in the scriptures. And we have to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And don't you worry about defending it. Just read them the book. Just read them. Tell them what Jesus said. Read them the Bible. Tell them what Jesus said. And then think about your testimony. Ain't no way in the world you be here right now. I be here right now. If it wasn't for the, don't you get it twisted and don't you get high-minded now. If it wasn't for the Lord on our side, we know where we would be. I don't know where I would be. You know where you would be. You be some old drunk on the corner with a needle hanging out of your arm. Wouldn't be married, wouldn't have the family you have now. You be old destitute something. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I'd be. Half of us be in the grave right now with a marker on our head. In a decaying casket. You know where you would be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let me get two witnesses. How many know where they'd be? I know where I wouldn't be. Hallelujah. I wouldn't be behind this sacred desk preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Be looking for the next party. Hallelujah. So people will try to convince you that what you got ain't real. You might as well go on. Go on. Hallelujah. You might as well go on. Hallelujah. You might as well go on because you're wasting your time right here. Hallelujah. Because you didn't get it like they thought you should have got it. Hallelujah. You didn't go down in his name. It wasn't Jesus only. And you went down to find. Oh, you didn't really get it because you didn't. Hallelujah. No, it ain't the question of whether I got it. The question might be whether you got it. Hallelujah. Because I know he real. Hallelujah. I know he real. I know he real. Hallelujah. He real deep down in my soul. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. You might as well go on. Hallelujah. Tell him to go on. You man, get on out of here. Hallelujah. You better get on out of here. You better get on out of here. Hallelujah. I might remember the times when I wasn't saved. You better get on out of here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says here, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know that 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 you know when the earthquake comes, when the pestilence comes, when the famine comes, do you know that you know that you know when the divorce comes, when the death comes, when the disappointment comes, when the opposition comes, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you know when people walk out of your life and they don't come back again, do you know that you know that you know that you know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is telling us something, y'all. It ain't a question of if. Hallelujah. Come on now. It ain't a question of if. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It ain't a question of if. The question is when. Hallelujah. 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 I got enough praise in reserve. I don't have to pull out my good stuff. I got enough praise on reserve. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I could tell last year's testimony. I don't even have to use this year's testimony. I don't have to tell you what he did lately. Hallelujah. To stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can take you back to 1982, March the 30th, hallelujah, Fort Ord, California, hallelujah, after a night of rabble rousing, hallelujah, thought I was grown, hallelujah, I can take you back to 82, hallelujah, with my guts full of that Jack Daniels, hallelujah, and Ron 151, hallelujah. I can't get no help right there. I can take you back when I was plucking up my guts, hallelujah, sick in a dog, hallelujah. But God let me sober up on Saturday and early Sunday morning, hallelujah. Come on, I didn't come to Christ sober. I still had some of that act of food juice. And I was stumbling up to the altar. Hallelujah, saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to use no new stuff. I can tell you my old stuff. it is still good. Because the word is still a word. My testimony is still my testimony. God is a good God all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let the validation of your walk with God sometimes be predicated upon and be validated upon a good fight. Mm-hmm. A real boxer, a real fighter. Just like they had Mayweather and the other guy had him in the ring. And because they were boxers, you're looking for, every time you beat the number one contender, just to get into the ring with them, you have to qualify. Because the number one contender ain't fighting no little guy. He ain't fighting nobody that ain't worthy of a worthy opponent. Hallelujah. And don't you know the devil think he's a worthy opponent? And he got the nerve to get into the ring with God through his saints. And he say, I'm a worthy opponent. How many know that Jesus already knocked that joker out on the cross? He was already defeated. And we all got to do. So that's why the Bible said, come on, let's finish this thing out. Y'all go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. And the Bible says, because all those things that I just mentioned to you that Jesus says in Matthew's gospel is indicative of the fact of things that can cause death and destruction. But the Bible says in this, and I know it's talking about literal death here, but you can talk about two of the principles of things that will cause you to die in your life. Because the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. What he wants to do is bring principles of death in your life, that you die in your faith in one part. How many know that you don't have to be dead in everything for it to stop working? But if he can interfere in one thing, the whole thing won't work properly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we come to do today by the power of God is to break up everything that's blocking you from the blessings that God has for you. It's not his fault. It's our fault by how we think. Hallelujah. We got to balance the message, y'all. It ain't never on God's side. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, yes, he did a complete work. He did a complete work for incomplete people. Oh, I can't get no help right there. We wasn't perfected. He is perfected. We're perfected as we mature. He was perfect on there when he was up there. And when he rose again. Hello, somebody. You got to live life. You got to understand what God has said, the avenue that he has given us to work it out, and then start walking it out. He blesses imperfect people. Ain't nobody in here ain't got no flaws, no quirks. That's why if you're married, who you marry to is the best person to make the adjustments for your inconsistencies, with the idiosyncrasies, for where we're jacked up at, then you got somebody that's anointed to walk with you through it. So you marry them. And so you can't get out of it now. You got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. Because I ain't perfect. Lord, know my heart. Hallelujah. You know my heart, girl. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know your heart. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. I just ran through that real quick because I don't have time. In essence, no matter what the adversary does, no matter what he throws our way, but thanks be unto God. If you go through life with an attitude of gratitude, praise God, hallelujah, you'll always come out the victor. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us or gives us what? The victory. Through who? Look what it says. Somebody, it says, What? Which? Don't you get it twisted. It wasn't our strength. What did we, and look what he uses here. He could have just said Jesus. He could have, but he put the whole mantle up there. He put the whole mantle up there. That's why I told you he's Jesus Christ, Lord, and everything he is in total operation in us. You missed it. Everything he is in total operation in us. They didn't get nobody. They didn't get nobody. Everything he, huh? Come on, what? So what then are you susceptible to? What's the hindrance? Come on, help me, sir. What's the worship? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? But even in that, okay, if I'm the problem, what's going to change it? My confession of, because the Bible says here, he just mentioned death. He just mentioned the grave. He just mentioned all those destructive things that he said they don't have no more power because, but thanks. So if I have an attitude of gratitude, if I maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God, he says, but thanks be to God, which possibly later on in the future is coming. It's not here yet, but it's on the way. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said, am I trying to get the victory? Am I hoping for it? Am I believing? Please, God, please, Lord. He said he what? So if he gives, then that means he already. That means what? He already. And who did he give it through? Lord Jesus Christ. Who did he give it through? Lord Jesus Christ. Who did he give it through? Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on going. No. Therefore, you got to understand Bible. What does therefore mean in the Bible? What that mean? What does 58 first word validate for 57? What does therefore mean? Therefore is what was before how you got there. So he says, what? Then look what he says now. This is a tender moment. It's tender. Say this tender moment. A tender moment. He says, therefore, come on now. He says, therefore, you can stop it, my beloved. It's sister in two. But it's spirit, so he's, you know, it's gender friendly. But he says, just stop it at beloved. He says, therefore, come on, this is theater class. I did drama in high school. Really? But you gotta bring it to the heart. He says, therefore, y'all not all in drama class. You, come on now. Come on, we almost finished. Come on. Therefore, oh, goodness. He says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye. Strong finish. Strong faith. Be ye. Who are we? Be ye. My beloved. Okay, yeah. But no. Be ye. Be ye. Okay. Be ye. Be ye unmovable, always There's a run, there's a walk, but then when you're abounding, you're leaping. It's a quantum leap. Be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Ooh. Ooh. In the what? What is the work of the Lord? To keep believing and then to convince others to believe. That's the work, the good work of faith, the good fight of faith. He says, abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Give me the next verse. Praise the Lord. You right. Okay. He said, that your labor is not in vain in what? The Lord. Your labor is not in vain. One of the most powerful choir songs in America was Be Ye Steadfast, Unmovable, Always Abounding in the Work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Strong finish, strong faith. He says here, always good news, the gospel, in troubled times. Saints, I'm not a preacher of gloom and doom, but I am a preacher of reality to understand this, that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And for as much as we would like to get it to things to be better, they are destined to get worse. But just because it's worse around us, it can be better in us. Matter of fact, it can be the best in us. The book writer wrote, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. The tale of two cities. And there is a tale of two citizenships, those that are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. And the thing about the things of outside of Christ is my last comment. You close your Bible. Is that those who are outside of Christ is not necessarily on the adversary's radar because they're already in him. The Bible calls them children of darkness. But we that are the children of light are the ones who per se that he is after more so, because we have tasted of the goodness of the Lord and he wants us to change our appetite and turn back from our God and turn back toward him. But that's not the case. So let us be steadfast. Let us be unmovable. Let us continue to abound in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labor is not in vain. You live in the life before your workers, your people that you work with. You standing strong in the midst of you, for your family, it's not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So we thank God always. Amen. Good news in these troubled times. In Jesus' name. If you're watching by Periscope, especially for you that are perhaps watching and you've been affected by the storms of life, that you're looking to rebuild, you're looking to